down, son. Everything I've taught you comes down to this. This is the only way that you can hope to survive. Because life is not a movie. Everyone lies. Good guys lose. And love does not conquer all. So let's do this thing. Let's finish it.
Oh, it's such a good day in the neighborhood, isn't it? How you doing, folks? Glad to be back at Tree Sun Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 29th of November, 2012, 1 minute after the hour. Plenty of news, plenty of views to talk about. I'm hoping some of my friends out in Arizona are listening to me tonight. If not, they'll just be listening tomorrow. So I'd like to give you a shout-out out there. Just to say hello. Mary, why you bugging will be joining us shortly, as I'm sure that JC, the producer, will be. You know, sometimes folks just get in late, but that's okay. I'm always here for you. That's what Resun Radio does. I'm always here for you. Right here, 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. That's what we do. An interesting piece of news happened on a personal level yesterday. Late night, Mary and I have what we would consider, I guess, a ritual. It doesn't always work out that way, but we sort of like to keep a tradition, if you will, at late night. We watch two programs at midnight. We started off watching Jimmy Kimmel Live, and then we watch a repeat of one of our favorite shows, Rules of Engagement. And last night, particular thing, two things happened on Jimmy Kimmel that I understand that, you know, look, he's in a business where, you know, making fun of people, pointing out the absurd, that's a part of what it is that he does. But there's more to be said about these little experiments that he does on the show. I'm not certain if you watch Jimmy Kimmel. I tried to look this up online. I couldn't find it. I actually had to go to abc.com to actually go to his show to go watch the rebroadcast that they put on online. But he has a YouTube channel as well, and I usually find a lot of audio he does on there. If I miss a show, I can go there and watch. But anyway, so I'm watching the show last night, and Jimmy has this thing called the Lie Witness News, which has now become sort of a staple on his show. It'll last for a little while until he changes it, and Jimmy changes formats. He changes benchmarks often. That's why I enjoy his show. I don't even watch Letterman anymore, and that used to be my religion when I was younger. But I watched Letterman since I was 17, 18 years old. So he has this thing, this benchmark on his show called Lie Witness News. And he's done this over and over again in certain areas, and we've played some of the audio here. We talked about how he asked people whether or not they watched last night's First Lady debate between Michelle Obama and Ann Romney. And people said yes, even though no such debate took place. He went out there and asked people whether or not the day after the election on Wednesday, whether or not they had gone out and voted for the Vice President of the United States between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, and people said yes. Now, is this because they're stupid, or is it because that they are liars? And has it become so commonplace to be a liar, to just lie outright? I want you to hear this for yourself, because a big story yesterday was Powerball. And only certain states are involved with Powerball. California is not one of those states. There is no Powerball in the state of California. So they sent out a man on the street last night and went out there to ask them whether or not they participated in
the Powerball game. It's not the fact that these people say yes. It's what they were willing to say after yes. The extremes of which they would go.
I know this would be a good opportunity for a social experiment. I discovered recently that people are very willing to lie when faced with a video camera. So today we went out onto Hollywood Boulevard and we asked some of the locals passing by if they bought their Powerball tickets yet, which again is impossible to do here in California. And here are the results. This is tonight's edition of Lie Witness News.
We're talking to people today about the $550 million Powerball jackpot tonight.
Yes.
Did you buy your ticket?
Five, actually.
You bought five tickets?
Yeah.
Awesome. Where'd you get them?
Down at the gas station off where I live.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty busy?
Yeah, actually. A lot of people are coming out to get those.
Here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I was in North Hollywood, actually, but yeah.
Did you buy your ticket today?
Actually, I did. I went in with a couple people, and we bought actually 20 tickets.
Where'd you buy them?
I don't know. Everybody added up, and he went to some 7-Eleven. I think 7-Eleven on Cherokee right there. Cherokee.
Oh, right around here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
Was there a big line?
No, actually, there wasn't.
Did you buy your ticket today?
Yes, this morning.
This morning? Where'd you get it?
It's Sherman Oaks.
Sherman Oaks? And was there a big line there for it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you get your tickets?
Sure. Of
yeah?
course, absolutely.
Where'd you get them?
Somewhere around here. Yeah.
Did you get your tickets?
Yes, I did.
Now, where'd you get it?
I got it at a store close by.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was there a big line?
No.
No?
No.
It was pretty easy?
Yeah.
Did you buy a ticket today?
I did. Yeah, I did. Along with about 300 million other people in LA.
Oh, you bought a race in LA?
Yeah, just down the street. It was ridiculous. The line was huge, all the way around the corner.
And we're talking to people about the $550 million Powerball jackpot.
Right.
Did you get your ticket?
No.
You didn't?
No, because I don't have Powerball in California.
Now, that isn't to say that everybody in California is a goddamn liar, but look how many people he found. Just to lie about Powerball. You have to wonder, it's like, was it the camera? Did people just want to be a part of something? Did they just want to be filmed? Did they want to get some sort of notoriety? I'm going to be on TV, I'll just say whatever it is that they ask. Or have we just become a culture of liars, thieves, idiots, morons, takers? What also baffled the hell out of me was later on in the program, I've never watched this TV show, but apparently it's called Teen Mom. I'm going to have to start watching it now. I'm going to have to see. I'm going to have to check on demand. Was it VH1, MTV? I don't know what station it's on, but I'm going to look it up. I can search on demand for just the title of the TV show, but I'm going to find it. And I have to find this broad. I have to find this young lady. I'm sure she's a teenager. But this teenager was allowed, you know, to procreate. And, you know, we often make fun of, you know, some toothless redneck who's a complete idiot. But this girl, you know what? The best way to put it is this. It's just to play it. You just have to hear it yourself. You just have to hear it for yourself.
My lawyer talked to my probation officer again. It sounds like they might be able to give me less jail time. I'm thinking about taking it so I can get off probation.
What they are asking for is the 8th through the 23rd. It would be a total of 16 days in jail.
Well, see, the only thing is, on the 9th, I got second row seat to go see a concert.
Okay. Again, folks. This is she's supposed to be a teen mom. She's been arrested for breaking and entering. They're telling her to do 16 days in jail so she can get out of probation. 16 days in jail. That's it. She's off probation. She doesn't have to deal with this anymore. She's arguing with her lawyer about going to see a concert. She's got second row seats. She's already purchased them. Now, look, I understand concert seats seats are a lot of money. But whatever it is that you paid for them, $100, maybe $150, this is in essence a payment that you can waste to have your life done with the justice system. Because trust me, we all know it's hell. And this is her lawyer talking to her about it, but nope, she's got to go to this concert, folks. It gets worse.
My lawyer talked to my probation officer again. It sounds like they might be able to give me less jail time. I'm thinking about taking it so I can get off probation.
What they are asking for is the 8th through the 23rd. It'd be a total of 16 days in jail.
Well, see, the only thing is, on the 9th, I got second row seat to go see a concert. It's Kesha taking it.
The problem is that that's not going to fly with your probation officer.
No, 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 you don't understand. This is my idol. She's like my idol, and I really can't miss that concert. I really can't. And that's why I got all these feathers in my hair.
I mean, I understand that the concert's important to you, but you can have all of this behind you in just a couple of weeks. Be done with it.
Like no one understands how important this concert is to me. It's not just a concert. It's Kesha. Like, it's
just think about it.
Like, it's the person. It's not oh, I wanna go to a random concert. It's Kesha, like my idol, the girl that I watch videos on YouTube 30 times a day. I mean, like, I'm obsessed with this girl.
Just think about it.
For me personally, I'm stunned that I just don't put a gun in my mouth. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm frightened. This is just those two instances. It's been more than 20 minutes out of my life, and I'm deathly afraid. And this has got, you know, I'm so sick and tired of people just laughing at it. That's the part that makes me sicker, is that people just laugh at it. I was shocked when it was happening. Mary will tell you. While it was happening, I was cowering in fear that this was happening. Then he managed to get these two things on tape, that someone actually recorded this. I was shocked. This is the state of our union, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any worse than that. To make matters worse, I got this audio the other day. It's finally starting to make some rounds. Some people are starting to see this story. Now, I want you to consider everything it is that you know about former President Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton was caught up in a crapload of sex scandals before and during his presidency. Monica Lewinsky is probably the one that was the most popular. But people have not forgotten about Paula Jones. People have not forgotten about her. But I wonder whether or not anyone remembers a woman by the name of Jennifer Flowers. A woman who outright not only could prove that she had an affair with Bill Clinton, it could not be disputed. And Bill Clinton had to fess up. Now, folks, everyone knows that happened during the 1992 presidential election. It was Bill Clinton versus a now hospitalized, we wish you well, Herbert Walker Bush. Now, folks, again, that is 1992. This woman comes forward. His name literally blows up in the news cycle because of this press conference that she gave. Here's the state. Now, if you want to really, really talk about when our lives, when our union, when everything that we believed in started to change, folks, I'm almost certain it happened in 1992. I'm more clear about it now than I ever was when I was watching it happen. The Kurt Cobains, the NWA, the whole music scene, the trying to reinvent the 1969 Woodstock era. It was a change that was happening. And now that I've listened to Jennifer Flowers, who gave an interview a couple of days ago, talk about that time in 1992 and Bill Clinton and these new revelations. I don't know if you've heard them, but you're going to hear them now. But I am certain, without a doubt, that what you just saw, where lying is okay, some little bitch doesn't want to do her time because she has to go see Kesha. I listen to Jennifer Flowers now, and I'm saying to myself, I get it. This is where it happened. This is Jennifer Flowers a couple of days ago, not only just talking about 1992, but she reveals something about 2005 as well in regards to Bill Clinton.
In your own life, there was a few corners back, right? It was like
several corners.
You know, I think it's about 20 years ago that you announced publicly that you and Bill Clinton had had an affair,
right.
And he was running for president, and
it
kind of rocked the campaign a little bit. It didn't affect the election, obviously.
Because I made him a household name overnight, you see.
That's true.
We had had that discussion.
You and Bill?
Bill, that he said, my problem right now is that, no one knows who I am. You know, I need that name recognition.
No.
And he said, you know, Kerry's got the Hollywood vote, and he went on to, you know, talk about the other candidates and, you know, the advantages they had, and that he really needed name recognition.
Are you
so
serious?
I'm very serious. And so when my story came out, he was a household name overnight.
This whole experience is not easy for me. I will start by explaining why I came forward to tell my story about my affair with Governor Bill Clinton.
I really thought that coming out and telling the truth would set me free, but it didn't.
When's the last time you talked to him?
Well, I talked with him actually after I got a divorce and I moved into my home in Old Metairie. It was after Katrina, and I was at home by myself, and the phone rang. It said unavailable, and I picked up the phone, and it was him, and he wanted to come by my house and talk to me.
Wait, this sounds unbelievable.
Well, I thought it was, too. I was taken back. I did not. That was the last thing I expected.
Well, how would he find you there?
Are you kidding me? They know. I mean, it's easy for the President of the United States to find out things like that. I mean, he has all these resources.
So what did you say? No, you can't come over?
I said, no, you can't come over here. I no way.
Well,
I said, you can't come to my house. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I'll put on a hoodie and I'll jog up there. Well, he used to do that.
I know.
I said, no, no, and I want you to leave me alone.
And that was it.
And that was it. Which that was in 2005.
I mean, folks, what more do you need to hear? And the part about it is that most people will hear that audio and they just go, come on, Reese, you know what I'm saying? He ain't the only one. I don't care whether or not he's the only one. That's not the point. Folks, think about that. 2005 after Hurricane Katrina. After Hurricane Katrina, was that late August? August 29th was Hurricane Katrina? So sometime around September, October, Jennifer Flowers moves into her new home. She's divorced. Bill Clinton says, I'll come on by. I'll throw on a hoodie. Bill Clinton uses his affair with another woman so he can get household name recognition. And people bought it. So with everything that we've discussed about Barack Obama and his reelection campaign, with everything it is that he's done, with every tactic that he used, we were astonished at the levels that he would stoop. But here's Jennifer Flowers just pretty much saying, hey, you know, this affair thing, you know, this will get me in everybody's, you know, get me in everybody's thoughts and, you know, hearts and minds. Start thinking about me. I got name recognition now. For me, this is just proof. 92. It's the turning point. That Gen X bullcrap. It baffles my mind. We'll take a break. I've got a very, very heartbreaking story to tell you folks when we come back. About a man in the west of France who sued a pharmaceutical company and won. But what he had to endure, folks, will shock the hell out of you. Wait until you hear this story. When we come back, hey, look, folks, I'm telling you, I know I'm right. The state of our union is straight hell. It's straight hell. There's no other way to put it. No other way to put it, folks. Trust me when I tell you.
My lawyer talked to my probation officer again. It sounds like they might be able to give me less jail time. I'm thinking about taking it so I can get off probation.
What they are asking for is the 8th through the 23rd. It'd be a total of 16 days in jail.
Well, see, the only thing is, on the 9th, I got second row seats to go see a concert. It's Kesha tickets.
The problem is that's not going to fly with your probation officer.
No, you don't understand. This is my idol. She's like my idol, and I really can't miss that concert. I really can't. But that's why I got all these feathers in my hair.
$1,500 or nothing. Yeah, yeah, yo, this one's for the people. All the bees that are bleeding and sleeping and eat shit, breathe. I thought we all equal. Ain't a man on the God's green bee underneath any other. I don't wanna play preacher, but I swear they turn a ear when we talk about peace and love. Sometimes might need a hug. Yeah, we all wanna come on up above, but this ain't about Jesus. No way, no Abe, no Ike, Moses or Muhammad. Yeah, it's all about believing. Full steam ahead because you know the worst times are behind me. I don't wanna sound cheesy, but it's just to really mean it. Yeah, I'm telling, I can feel it. It's the reason I don't sleep, I'll be way too geek tonight. This one's for all of y'all, I'm the same as all of y'all. I'm on my shit, I work real hard enough for every little bit that I get. But this is all I need, so sing this song with me. It goes like, so it sounds like this. Everybody start clapping hands. It's like,
about loving what you have. So get ready. a new day.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Favorite bands, Weezer, on Reset Radio, bottom of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is the 29th of November, 2012. This story is a tragic one. although I want to find ways to make fun of it. Trust me, I do. Because that's the sick, demented mind that I am. So, Parkinson's disease, for any of you who know people who have it, famously, Michael J. Fox, Richard Pryor, Muhammad Ali. I know that Maurice White, the late Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, died of Parkinson's. Richard Pryor, of course, as well, both passed, had Parkinson's disease. And, you know, of course, it's a disease that attacks the nervous system. And to have that kind of disease, I mean, you know, you make the Family Guy show often makes fun of Michael J. Fox. You know, Seth MacFarlane always attacks his Parkinson's in a lot of ways. And I'm not going to lie, I laugh often at the way they make fun of it because it's just sick and it's wrong, but you can't help but laugh. So there's a guy in Western part. His name is Diedler Jambert. He's in France, in West France. And apparently he was an upstanding member in his community. He was a bank manager, had a wife, had children, made a good living. I mean, he's in the banking industry. He made a lot of money. So he got this medication called Requip back in 2003. And he started taking it. And a couple of years later, it started to take a strange effect on his body and on him as a whole person. Now, he went to court to sue GlaxoSmithKline, I believe is it, yeah, the name of the pharmaceutical company, and he won a six-figure judgment. In fact, he had already won one judgment that was in 2006. No, 2009, I apologize, 2009, and they appealed it, and this time the judge upped the ante, said, you know, after finding out more about this drug, they found out he deserved more money. But let me break down to what the drug did to him, this Requip. Apparently, this drug turned him into a gay sex addict and a gambler. It got so bad that he was posting his image on gay hookup websites. He was online gambling. He was so desperate. He turned into a crackhead, folks. He turned into a crackhead. He was spending his business associates' money. He drained his entire bank account. He even sold his kids' toys for money. But apparently this drug turned him into a gay sex addict. Here's where it gets even sicker. This drug affected him so much that when he, quote-unquote, posted himself on these gay websites, it, you know, for him to hook up with certain individuals for gay sex, at one point he got raped. He was raped. And they're saying that the drug didn't do anything about it. You have to see his pictures. If you just look him up, his name is Diedler, and that's D-I-D-L-E-R, Jambert. It's like Lambert with a J. And look up his pictures. He's on the Daily Mail website, his pictures. His wife stood by him. His wife stood by him. She saw what it was doing to him. And she stood by him. Have you ever heard of a drug that makes you a mild-mannered banker? A mild-mannered... See, this is where I find it funny. Not him and not his situation. But for Christ's sakes, you know, this is that part of those commercials that you watch on television where they talk about side effects may include. Now, this has always bothered me. I'm sure it's bothered you because everyone I've ever met when we sit down and watch TV and they do this, side effects may include, we always go, damn, that sounds worse than the damn condition. I remember watching some drug to stop you from smoking. And it said side effects may include anal bleeding. I immediately lit up. That's something like that, give me the cancer. That's what I'm saying. You're something like that goes down. Inject the tobacco into my veins, for crying out loud. Burst a hole into my chest and blow Newport smoke into my lungs. I'd rather do that. Anal bleeding? Off of medication? Oh, hell no. Now, can you imagine that this requip, if it had said side effects may include... an urge to sleep with men. I mean, all, and the funny part about this to me is, of course, the lawsuit is implying that they believe that GlaxoSmithKline should have informed people of its side effects or what it is that they should have informed people sooner. Look, I'm telling you, if GlaxoSmithKline had suggested that, look, you may have an urge to leave your wife and steal your kids' toys, online gamble, and perhaps be anally raped. No, I'm sorry. We weren't going to sell one tablet that way, buddy. But he won. And he got his money. And, you know, even they went and had it appealed and got more money afterwards. But you have to see his picture. He's crying. He feels sad. He looks, I mean... I look at his wife, because his wife is obviously his strength here. She was.
You've got to be
joking
me on this one, right?
What's that?
You've got to be joking with me on this one.
This is a real story.
I'm looking at this guy's pictures. He looks like one sweet and low away from Easter Island.
But,
and Hamptons.
His life has been devastated by this drug. Now,
Reese.
I don't know if he's ever had those urges, but do you believe? Isn't it? I mean, I'm willing to at least assume.
Reese, listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying.
Okay.
If these drugs made him do that, wouldn't the antibody cure gay people?
Hmm. Wow, you know, that's interesting.
Dude, Ken Reese, this guy looks like he's got more sugar and more sweetness in his tank than a truckload of baklava.
I thought that too, man. I thought that too, looking at him. Maybe he did have a little sugar in the tank before. Maybe that's possible. But see... Look, if he had proof that, I mean, it was turning him into an addict. Even if he was somewhat gay or had gay tendencies, he was putting his life at risk to get sex. He was stealing money. These were things and attributes his wife could clearly testify he had never shown before.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I'm never ever going to put the onus on the criminal justice system to do the right thing all the time. I'm not going to say that they always investigate thoroughly. But if there's a suggestion that this guy was never, ever like that, and all of a sudden he gets Parkinson's disease, he tries this drug, and his life dramatically takes a 180. Come on.
Wait a minute. I did a search for this guy's picture, and Muammar Gaddafi came up amongst his pictures. Google has jokes.
Sally B is on the line. Hey, Sal, how are you?
Well, hold on a minute. The subject had to play a little music there. Here's the bottom line. You know, you're making a joke out of this. And I'm going to say in all seriousness, I mean, and you know, kidding aside, you can make jokes, you can say things about a drug that you don't really know much about, but I'm going to tell you right now, this should really enhances your gaydar. And, you know, let he who hasn't gone there be the one to judge it.
Well, yeah. Well, no, again, that's what I said. In this story, I said in the beginning, as Theo said in the open, it's a sad
Listen,
story.
Listen, I'd be kidding aside. I see stuff like this. I'm not buying it. The thing about him turning gay because of the drug, you know, here's the deal. Let's say it opens some part of your brain that allows you to do self-destructive behavior. That wouldn't be the only self-destructive behavior. He'd be totally destroyed in every way.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could buy.
But according to this, they're saying within 2 years of taking the drug requip, he was so addicted to both of his vices, he sold his children's toys to raise money and advertised himself on the internet for sex. He has now been given, well, they're saying 160,000 euros in damages after the court in France upheld his claims.
The likely scenario is he got busted by his wife, and he was doing this for years, and he blamed it on the drug, thinking it was as good an excuse as any, just like when the guy gets caught cheating and says, I was drunk. Okay? It's the oldest excuse in the book, honey. I was drunk. Right? So who knows? Maybe this guy was, you know, he had his issues all along. He got busted by his wife, and he said, hey, it's the drug.
Or I tripped and fell, and my mouth landed on my nipple.
Hold on. But what about this other stuff? Hold on. There's other stories here, right? They said the formerly well-respected bank manager, a local counselor, and a father of two had tried to commit suicide 8 times after he turned into a sex-crazed gambling addict. He told the court that he had emptied his bank account, sold his children's toys, and stolen money from his work colleagues, friends, and neighbors. In total, he gambled away 82,000 euros, mostly placing internet bets in horse races, and engaged in a frantic search for gay sex. He began exhibiting himself on the internet websites and arranging encounters, one of which resulted in him being raped.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little personal story, and it's not where you think I'm going.
Oh, please, thank God.
We like personal stories.
I know
stories.
Somebody who, family member, had cancer.
Okay.
And they got the diagnosis, stage 3.
Wow.
And you know, my mother had passed from leukemia prior, okay? So this particular person decided to take every penny they had. They took vacations. They went through the process of the chemo, but then they proceeded to get drunk. They partied. They spent money. And so I have personally seen people who stare at these diseases in the face, and instead of, there's this part of human nature, and I may be even one of them, I don't know, because I haven't ever had to deal with it, that if you're faced with someone telling you, hey, you might have 6 months to live, I can honestly tell you that, you know, if I didn't have my son, I might tell my wife, hey, you know what, I've got 6 months, I want to do whatever I want to do. You okay with that? I don't know what I'd do, but, you know, I have a son, so that isn't part of the equation. But when people face their own mortality, I just don't know what I would do. I mean, maybe you'd go to the track. You know what I mean? Maybe you'd start drinking it up. Anything is possible. Maybe, you know, you'd hire a harem of women, of course, if you weren't married. But my point is, I don't know that you ever know what someone's going to do when they face, and Parkinson's is a horrible, horrible disease.
Oh, absolutely.
I know somebody secondhand through someone that I'm very close with, that young man, 30, he's going to lose his life soon. I don't doubt it for a second that it's possible, but again, I think it has less to do with the drug and more to do with people numbing themselves to this news and just doing whatever it is they can to numb themselves. It's very similar to someone numbing themselves from a loss or something like that. That's what I think this is all about. I didn't want to inject too much reality because it was a pretty funny, he had a pretty funny angle on it, but at the end of the day, I think that's what this might be about.
Well, listen to what, this is what GlaxoSmithKline gave as a, gave as advice to patients who are taking ReQuip. And apparently ReQuip's clinical or medical name is called Ropinrol. A ropinirole is a dopamine agonist used to treat patients with chronic and progressive neurodegenerative conditioned Parkinson's disease, for which there are only a small number of treatments available. It directly stimulates dopamine receptors in the brain and acts as a replacement for dopamine, which is deficient in certain parts of the brain in patients with Parkinson's disease. Pathological gambling and increased libido and hypersexuality have been reported in patients treated with dopamine medicines. These reports are uncommon when compared to the number of people treated with these medicines. Prescribing and patient information for Recrypt provides information on compulsive behaviors. It's important that patients talk to their doctor before deciding to stop or start taking any medicine. Anyone receiving treatment with a dopamine agonist or caring for someone receiving this treatment who notices unusual behaviors such as new or increased gambling urges, increased sexual urges, or other intense urges should talk to their doctor. So GlaxoSmithKline has said in their reports this is what they've seen in people.
I don't dispute it. I'm going to tell you, I'm into supplements and herbs. There's three things out there. One's called yohimbe, one's called goatweed, and one's called longjack root. You take those three things, you better not leave the house as a married man. And
really?
It's all natural, but it makes you kind of crazy.
Now, hold on. Is yohimbe, isn't yohimbe the thing that the Asian guy's talking about in Lethal Weapon 4?
I don't know. I take it. I use it because if I work out, it enhances circulation. It also can increase testosterone. But the other effects of it, I don't take any Viagra or any of that. But to me, the natural stuff is so powerful that it's unbelievable how it can just change your mind and the way you think and even your physical. You feel jacked. It's totally normal stuff. I mean, it's natural. But at the end of the day, I totally agree that you can take things to stimulate, and L-DOPA is – L-DOPA, I think it's the hormone that produces the dopamine. I can't remember. I did some reading on this a while back with L-DOPA, but that's one of these life extension L-DOPA is a big one. They believe that it leads to youth and longevity. But at the end of the day, I didn't turn gay. I just would probably be more inclined to go out and get flirt. You know, I don't think it made him gay. I think it absolutely stimulates the part of the brain that makes you want to do all the things you know you're not supposed to do. And that's not the only thing that can do that. And so,
I
think he had a bunch of stuff pent up in him, and he said, screw it. You know, literally.
Increase of curiosity.
So wait a minute. So you believe that he may have already naturally been gay?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Reese. You know, some people it's alcohol, okay? Some people it's, like I say, the natural supplements. And you take this stuff, and it just makes you more of who you already are. So if you're a flirt, it's going to make you worse of a flirt. If you're aggressive, it's like alcohol, right? So I'm a happy drunk. When I get drunk with my friends, I'm a joker. Some guys get drunk, they just get meaner because they're mean in general. So I think it just enhances whatever you are. It's just another way to bring that, to get that buffer down. And people just, once they lose the buffer, you really see what's there. And I think that's what this is all about. I think it's that way with drugs and alcohol. I don't know about drugs. I'm not a drug guy. But I like to drink. And in my youth, nothing changed. I just did it more. So if I liked women before I drank, I liked them more after I drank. You know, it's, you don't change.
I don't know, man. This one, I'm going on the deep end, man. I really, really think that this guy was affected. If GlaxoSmithKline is saying this in their own, disclaimer.
Now, see, if this thing only releases L-DOPA, that's fairly safe. Would you be willing to back up your theory and try this thing out to fear what might happen?
No, man, you crazy? I don't know if I told. I'm pretty sure I cleared this up with you. My Native American name screams like a bitch. not happening. Okay? I don't try anything just once. I got a lot of people in my life who do, but I'm not that guy.
And I'm totally kidding again. I don't touch prescription medication. I think it's like the ultimate evil. I honestly believe that.
Where the hell is White Mike when you need him?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
He's out getting his prescription filled with this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm anti-prescription on almost everything. Even with antibiotics, I think we overuse them and the effectiveness of them is weakening. And, you know, prescription drugs, everybody loves their prescriptions, but it's a crutch in a lot of cases. There are people who need prescriptions. There's no question about it. But the I'm not a young guy. I don't take anything. I never have. I take everything I take as natural supplements, and I'm kind of a walking experiment, but so far, so good. And
yeah,
I'm hoping
funny,
that I can
mentioned...
hang in there with that, because once you get on the prescription drugs, it's really hard to get back, even if it's just, you know, something to aid your sleep and then something to aid your bowels and something to aid this, something to aid that. It never ends.
Yeah, I worry about that often. I hear that a lot because it does. I mean, after a while, your body becomes dependent on it. You mentioned Yohimbe. Now, is that's what is that? That's Asian. It's an Asian root or something.
The bark of a tree. It's the bark,
it is
some
the bark
type
of a tree.
And that stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, I just started taking it recently because I hadn't been working out all that much. I wanted to get back in shape. Now, when I used to take it when I was 20, it didn't hit me as bad. First couple times I took it, my heart was going to go through my chest. It's really powerful stuff. So I would never encourage anybody to take it, but you know, natural stimulants are as powerful as, if not more so, than some of the stuff that they sell over the counter. The stuff with Viagra, okay? I know my wife's in the medical field. There are people in their 20s taking Viagra so they can pretend they're Superman and they're dropping dead of heart attacks. Don't ask me how they're getting the prescription filled. A healthy 20-year-old shouldn't even be able to fill that prescription.
Right.
That's another one of those things. You start relying on that stuff, that blows your small arteries open. Well, that includes the arteries in your eyes, and your eyesight starts to go. There's all sorts of effects of these things. And drugs, you know,
it's
in general.
It's so interesting you bring up Viagra. Because did you hear this thing that Brandon Marshall of the Chicago Bears football team just said in an interview recently?
No.
Okay. He was doing an interview somewhere and said that he had heard that there were some football players who were using Viagra to get an edge on the football field.
Don't doubt it at all. Don't doubt it. There's another thing I used to see. I've been taking supplements for so long. There used to be a product in the market called Ephedra. I used to drink that stuff as a tea before I worked out, and it made you insane. I mean, you just get through amazing stuff, but what it really is like this deadly stimulant it's just like caffeine, 5-hour energy drink, right? You take a 5-hour energy drink, you're fine. You feel a little boost. Kids are going out buying 10 and 20 of these things and popping them down, dropping dead. And it's nothing more than a stimulant when, if taken properly, it just gives you that little coffee boost. But because it's in a little sip jar, you could put back 20 of them in less than a minute, it's a deadly cocktail on the shelf. So, you know, the prescription drugs are no more dangerous than some of the stuff that you can get over the counter these days that will give you amazing results. It's really funny how you can influence yourself with these herbs and medicines. And you don't even need a prescription. So you got to really be careful. Now, this guy, I mean, he probably feels he doesn't have a heck of a lot to lose. Probably likes the way it feels. His libido's through the roof. And he's just, and I honestly, again, go back to, I think, whatever tendencies or thoughts he had, he's just acting on them. And it's you know, if he gets caught and his wife finds out, it's a way to cover that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you what I find interesting. For GlaxoSmithKline to say that, this drug has the effect of causing you to gamble. Now, the extra libido thing, okay, that's, for me, that's not far-fetched. You know what I mean? Okay, we know drugs that will do that. You know, there are drugs on you know, that are over the counter that can give you the extra libido now. But see, the gambling thing to me, that's where I was a little struck, Sal. This is where I was somewhat struck. Because I understand that, but here's why I was. I was struck because of the fact that I never ever looked at gambling in a sense that can be triggered by a drug.
Okay.
You know, I mean, an addiction is an addiction, and I understand that it can be chemical. You know, an alcohol addiction, a drug of some sort, whatever it is. But an addiction on this level of gambling, because gambling is so much more different, it's outside of the body. Because I always look at addiction as a matter of consumption.
Okay.
And, you know, so to
a
degree.
Think of it this way. A guy goes out and he drinks 8 beers, and he's laughing all night, and he's having a blast. Then his buddy buys him 3 shots of Southern Comfort, another 4, and now he's in a fist fight. It's all alcohol, except that hard alcohol triggered something in the brain.
Sure.
That changed, and I can tell you right now, when I was in my 20s, I wasn't the guy that should be drinking the hard whiskey when I'm out, because immediately I got 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And if I was drinking beer, it was a totally different buzz. So they've done studies that show that serial killers have enhanced areas in the brain that are larger in size than people that aren't serial killers.
Hmm.
The brain is chemically, it reacts to every chemical reaction in ways that we just don't fully understand yet. So the whole gambling thing, I think gambling is clearly a self-destructive behavior. So is the kind of sex this guy was having. This clearly triggered something in his brain that was self-destructive in nature.
Well, that may be true, Sal, but if he didn't know it, like, the brain is a mystery. It's even a mystery to those who are holding the brain in some point. But, you know, it's interesting what you just said about that whole how alcohol treats someone different. I remember the first time I ever experienced that. Derek the Bounty Hunter and I, we were up at his Wilkes-Barre campus at Penn State. And there was a guy named Jack who hung out with us. He had the curly hair like William Catt from A Greatest American Hero. Young kid. And it was Monday Night Football. He had been with his friends. He didn't like football, but he was in another dorm. He drank an entire case of beer by himself. Now, we were over at Derek's dorm, and we had a couple of girls over, and we took some shots of tequila. That was all we had drank. You know, we had a couple of beers, but we were taking shots of tequila. Everybody was pretty mellow. Well, this guy comes over. Jack comes over. He's calm as ever. This young guy, Craig, turns around and says to him, jokingly, says to him, he's like, "Yo, Jack, where were you?" I said, "Oh, we went to go see some girls or whatever." That so Craig goes, "Jack and Jill went up the hill." Before he could finish, now Jack had only had one shot of tequila, one shot of tequila, and the guy jumps up and starts screaming, "You talking about my sister?" We didn't realize he actually had a sister named Jill. Swear to God, he starts chasing Craig around the table. And he's pulling out his hair and running through the nearby cemetery, knocking over tombstones. Flipped out off one shot of tequila. Everybody said he was fine all night. He drank an entire case. He was cool the entire night. All of a sudden, he had that shot of tequila and he flipped out. I've seen that firsthand, so I agree with that. But gambling, I don't know how a drug that you ingest can trigger a gambling synapse in your brain. It just makes no sense to me.
That's the part that we're to see final purchase. That's the unbelievable part. I think more so what this drug does, it intensifies, amplifies your dirty desires, your dirty little desires.
Right. Even if you don't know you have them.
Even if you don't, I mean, I don't. That's just it. I don't buy that he doesn't know that he has them. I don't buy that. I wonder if you checked his computer prior to this coming down and taking these pills. And I'm sure if you go back and check his entire history, you're gonna find gay porn and gambling sites.
Well, I'm sure you will now after he took it.
What about gay gambling? Beforehand.
Gay gambling. We got to go to the top of the hour, guys. We'll be back. Stick around at 3 Center Radio.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
See, that's the trouble with your MTV microwave dinner generation. You all want it now. You think you deserve it just because you want it? It doesn't work like that. You have to earn it. You have to take it. You have to make it yours. But first, you need to decide what it is you really want.
Reese on the Radio, we're back, top of the hour. Just a little. What I like to do is kind of a station ID thing. Trust me, that's what it is. I have to do top of the hour. Brand new hour right here on Recent Radio, 1 minute after the hour on blogtalkradio.com, November the 29th, 2012. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Who should have been here already is probably running late. I can see. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my love.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm almost home.
Okay, well, move your ass. Thank you.
Well, you know, I was trying to get you something to eat, so.
Well, that's nice of you. I've actually, I've had something about 3 hours ago. Make
well,
it four.
You'll be eating again because I went and got something.
Okay, well, I will see you when you get home. You're probably not going to like the next conversation we're about to have anyway, because I want to talk about baseball and the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and not really into it. Okay, I'm going to go now. I'll see you when I get there.
Bye-bye. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging me? Yeah, I don't know, folks. If you're just joining now, I don't believe that a drug can actually make you gamble. I don't believe that. I'm just frightening to know that there's a drug out there that would make you do it. And this does beg the question that JC brought up about, you know, maybe you can find, what did you call it?
The antibody.
Yeah.
Could or the anti-drug.
Find, right. Could we find the antibody or the anti-drug? I mean, if there's something that could make a guy gay. I'm just wondering. That's just me. So I'm just wondering if that's a possibility. Anyway, moving off the subject, I'm sure there are some of you who don't like sports, don't get into sports, can't understand sports, don't really care. That's fine. But I wanted to briefly mention this. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa are up this time to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, unless you were living under a rock, and I doubt many of you are, you know, some of you are saying, you know, what's that whole deal? Like, where is that at now? You know, okay. Roger Clemens, look, he's been cleared of any wrongdoing, regardless of suspicion. He's been cleared of any wrongdoing. He's, you know, got charged with perjury, went through a whole court proceeding, went through two of them and crying out loud, federal ones at that. It's never, ever been proven beyond a reasonable doubt that he was indeed using some sort of, you know, performance-enhancing drugs or PEDs. And so there's no proof there, no evidence there. Barry Bonds, on the other hand, he was caught. He believes that he was using – well, he was using flaxseed oil. He thought he was using some – I mean, I think he said he thought he was using flaxseed oil, but he was actually using something else. that turned out to be a performance-enhancing drug, using it on his body. We all know about the transformation in 1996, where he was skinny as a rail, thinner than me, and then as he got older, his body bulked up. His skull, now folks, now this part is going to sound crazy, but I'm not making this up. His skull grew, okay? His skull grew a full size. That is a fact. He went from wearing a one-size baseball cap, a fitted baseball cap, and he had to change it to a larger size as he got older. Is absolutely unheard of in the human condition. I mean, unless you're, you know, I mean, your bones usually degenerate. But this man, when he was 30-something, his bones grew. And his head size grew. Sammy Sosa, have you seen photos of this man lately? Have you seen Sammy Sosa? Sammy Sosa went from a dark skin, I don't speak no English, to an albino. Have you seen his pictures lately? He looks like the ghost from... he looks like the ghost from Feliz Navidad.
looks like Beetlejuice.
Exactly. You've never seen that dark-skinned man. He's white now.
Ricky Ricardo.
Exactly. He looks like Ricky Ricardo.
An old one.
How did that happen, folks? Okay? He's been in the sun 162 games a season, folks. Okay? In the sun 162 games a season, folks. Yet Sammy Sosa leaves the game and he turns white. How is that possible? Now, look, there's no truth to the idea that either one of these guys are going to make it into the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens has probably got a better chance than anyone. Look, he faced his judges, you know, and he faced the jury. He was acquitted, okay? So, you know, if he went through that and his lawyer went out there and fought for him and he cleared his name, you know, I don't know if he's cleared his name in the court of public opinion, but I'm sure the court of public opinion still believes, we believe there's something in there. He's got a better shot than Barry Bonds. You can forget about it. Barry Bonds, he's done. Barry Bonds has been aloof. Barry Bonds has been arrogant. Barry Bonds has not cared about the game. I know he, you know, home run king and all, everybody believes it should be an asterisk on it. Hey, JC, find out for me whether or not Mark Echo, the clothing designer, he was the one who got Barry Bonds, 736 home run ball. If I got that number right, I'm almost certain I do. I keep that stuff kind of locked in my head. But he got the final home run ball of Barry Bonds. Mark Echo, the fashion designer, he does hip-hop clothing. He got his hand on that final ball. Can you find out for me whether or not he shot that thing off in space like promised? I do remember that there was a story going around. I believe he was going to take the ball and put an asterisk on it or something like that. I don't know if Sally D knows. I don't know if White Mike or anybody else knows. But if you do know, let me know. The number is 347-308-8701. Or you can email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. I don't know whether or not it is. It might be. But I'm going to ask Sal. Because Sal, you're a sports guy. Do you follow baseball as much as you do football?
Not only do I follow baseball, this story actually has personal meaning to me with the McGuire social thing. So, real quick, right after you talked about the Sammy Sosa picture, I went and looked it up.
Okay.
And I was horrified. He looks freakish. It doesn't look normal. I mean, he looks like his face doesn't even look the same.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just the color. I don't know if maybe he's sick. You know, I mean, that doesn't look to me like they're saying that it's a cream. That some cream he has done this?
Yeah, they said it's a skin lightening cream of some sort.
But he doesn't look natural. I guess he was at some award show and they got him dressed in a suit. So you know he's looking the best he can possibly look, but when you look at his face, there's just something about the whole look that he doesn't look well.
There's a deformity going on there, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, something ain't right, but, you know, so the whole, so back to what you're saying about the ball.
Well, right.
I don't think you have his name right. It's Mark something. But
it's Mark Echo.
The guy
Echo.
From the Dallas Mavericks. Isn't it the owner of the Mavericks that bought
the ball? No, not Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. That's right.
I thought
right.
it was Mark. I'm almost certain it's Mark Echo.
Was it? I thought it was Cuban. But I do believe that whoever bought the ball made some kind of a comment that they would asterisk it. Now, whether that's what happened or not, I don't know. But so back to the Sosa McGuire thing.
Yeah, I remember. Hey, I remember where I was living. I was in Buffalo, New York, with my former girlfriend and my little brother Briggs, and we were there. We were there watching that. We were in Sloan, New York, which is 5 minutes outside of Buffalo, and I watched that. You know, the game that what the Cubs played. What was it? The not the Cardinals.
I don't remember. I just remember the whole battle
no, what
going
the hell?
On and how
yeah,
exciting
he played
it was.
St. Louis. Right, right, right. It was St. Louis. St. Louis versus Chicago.
Oh, it's where they played against each other. Okay.
Yeah, they played. It was a game that meant nothing. It wasn't the game, but because of the whole home run derby, I mean, a whole home run chase, that they televised the game on Fox.
Yep.
So I'll never forget that day.
I mean, to
I
me, that whole battle was the most exciting baseball moment, and we've had Red Sox World Championships since, but for me,
yeah.
as a baseball moment, that battle was historical. It was special when it was happening. There was nothing like it, because baseball can be such a drag. It's such a long year, and had this amazing battle taking place that was legendary. They were both going to break the Maris record, and watching it was just a spectacle. And then, you know, you find out about McGuire. I don't think it was the steroids initially. It was HGH or the androstenedione. That's what it was, andro. So you found out about McGuire with the andro. I don't think at the time you knew about Sosa and any kind of steroid use, if I'm not mistaken. I think that took a while for it to come up, no?
Yeah, there was never any reports. There were never any reports about that.
But, you know, so then you could go so many ways in this discussion. So I have a feeling about that, but then I have a feeling about Bonds that's entirely different. And with Bonds, so my feeling on the Sosa-McGuire thing is, in steroids in general, or the use of performance enhancers, because I don't think it's just steroids, you know, if you're a real baseball fan and you
right.
and you listen to the stories, they say that the players in the 50s and 60s were all taking speed. And that until baseball came up with these really strict
right.
mandates, that they were still doing it because it was such a long grind. They were all on some form of speed. Now, honestly, I have mixed emotions because I still haven't really – I don't have a really hard position on this. Because I get the idea that sports influences the young, but I also feel it shouldn't. I feel fathers should be there to influence the young. And sports
absolutely.
Should be something that's enjoyed in the proper context. These people are not
sort of
heroes.
A buffer, if you will. Sort of a
they're
buffer that bonds the two.
No, they're sports icons, but as human beings, they are flawed, just like the rest of us. So
right.
I've never taken this stance that, you know, they were doing something so heinous that they just became villains. At the same time, I look at a guy like a Jim Rice. I look at a guy like a Hank Aaron or any of these other guys, like a Mike Schmidt, who probably did it clean.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, those three guys did it clean. And you'll never know what their numbers might have been. But somewhere
right.
along the line, the game changed and the steroids started. And it probably started in that era with the Oakland A's when Canseco and McGuire. That's probably when it really started to bubble up across the league. So what do you do? Do you punish the guys you catch? Do you forever tarnish the guys you catch? Or do you accept the fact that the game itself was tainted and not punish the guy only that got caught, when it's pretty clear that people like Palmeiro who looked people in the eye and denied it, and I think it was Palmeiro who just denied until he finally got bagged red-handed, that, and he didn't even look like he took roids.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't. So, I mean, he defiantly shook his finger at Congress and said, I have never taken performance-enhancing drugs, and then 6 months later he got busted.
Yeah, so I have a totally different feeling about a Mark McGwire who actually came to tears, because I looked up to Mark McGwire as a baseball player. I had a major league trial when I was 19 years old. I played semi-pro ball when I was, like, almost 30. I love baseball. It was my life. When the Sosa-McGwire thing came down to Mark McGwire in tears and being sitting in front of the media and him feeling he let all these kids down and kind of breaking down over it, I actually felt bad for him because he did feel remorse. He felt badly. He did what he knew what he did was wrong, but he felt that, you know, hey, to get that edge, I got to do it as well. So
you know what,
a guy like that, I feel total sympathy for him. I would not rule him out based on maybe what he took. I would also say I still think he's on the bubble because for a lot of years he was a 250, 260 hitter. But
yeah, but that being said, hear me out with this. This is where I have the problem. I like Mark McGwire too, okay? I like Mark McGwire. I kind of like Sammy Sosa. I wasn't really a Clemens fan. I can't really say anything about him, so he's probably the only person I can deal with in a very, very unbiased way. Barry Bonds, on the other hand, never really liked him. I just thought he was a simple slugger, not really a ball player, if you get my meaning. Like, I never really looked at him as like a ball player, an iconic one. He was known for home runs. That was it, but that didn't happen until the San Francisco Giants days. So I never really followed him like that. I was a Ken Griffey Jr. fan, you know, as far as I loved, Howard of the Philadelphia Phillies. Those are the guys I kind of liked.
Yep.
In the area of black ball players, my all-time favorite of all, and the only reason why I'm using black ball players is because of the point I want to get to about Barry Bonds. Daryl Strawberry wasn't one of my favorites, but I love Doc Gooden. Loved him. Loved him.
Cool.
Revered him. Doc Gooden. So those guys were iconic to me. My problem with Barry Bonds was that I believed, honestly, that made me have a judgment call with him, was that when he was using a performance-enhancing drug, and he knows he was, there's no denying it. Hi, honey. He was, the worst part about what he was doing was that he was duping Hank Aaron. And he understood the importance of Hank Aaron being the home run, the home run hitting icon that he was. This man surpassed Babe Ruth at a time when he was getting death threats. Being at 755 home runs and being Hank Aaron was important. And I thought Barry Bonds was selfish, and he was absolutely inconsiderate. And here was a guy, Hank Aaron, who was taking him under his wing and sort of treating him like a second son. And Barry Bonds didn't care about that. And a perfect example of that was the interview that was done with the girl he had an affair with. Right? And you know, look, I hate to use the term, but she was some slut looking for a check anyway. But when she did her first interview, when it wasn't about how much money she could get off this, when she did her first interview and she talked about that game that we're discussing between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, she said Barry Bonds was at her house. He wasn't at home with his family. He was at his mistress's home. She said he was so furious that Fox was broadcasting that meaningless game following McGwire and Sosa. Who were they? They're nobody. And he kept running down his numbers to her. You know what I hit this year? You know what I'm hitting right now? Do you know what? That's what he was pissed off about. He didn't care about
I'm
the game.
You, when it comes to Bonds, I got to tell you something. I wanted that guy to break a leg going around second base before he got that record. But you know what? He has, and this is the ultimate revenge. He broke the biggest record in sports history, and it meant the least to the fans of
Absolutely.
Any record of that magnitude that's ever been broken. Nobody gave a crap other than San Francisco. And if people did care, they cared because they felt it was a fraud. So trust me, when he goes to bed at night, he knows that. And that's
well,
the ultimate revenge there. That was disgraceful.
It bothered
me
to
no end. I have an opinion as well. Go ahead, real quick. Go ahead.
No, I want to read this statement that he put in there. Apparently he did an interview with MLB.com. He said after this year's ballots, which also feature Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, and Mike Piazza, who's also on there. Piazza will definitely get in there. He says, quote, "I don't even know how to explain it. The world has become so negative. One day I'll be able to say things the right way. But it's tough when you have so many people out there who don't want to turn the page and want to be angry at you forever. I don't understand why it continues on. What am I doing wrong? I can sit here and say, you know what? Baseball is great. I love it. I can sit here and say in a very kind way that I'm sorry about the way things ended. I can sit here and say that I respect the Hall of Fame, which I do. But I don't understand all the controversy we're having about it. For what reason? What's there to be gained by all of this? What's the point?" And, you know, of course, everybody is now calling it going like really, really odd statements by him because they don't seem to have any clarity. But I know what he's saying. What he's saying here is that, look, we're pissed off at you that you use drugs, that you use PEDs, okay? And we're not going to get over it because it's not so much about what you did. It's about what you did and how it affects other things. Yes, the record books say that you have 756 home runs, but there's a guy named Hank Aaron who's really scrapped and scraped to get through that, who went through adversity you'll never know. Never know. Death threats? People planning on killing him after he broke the record? People sending him notes? Don't you break Babe Ruth's record. We'll kill you. He beat an iconic figure in baseball's record, and he was a black man in the 1970s. They were going to kill him.
Oh, yeah. He went through hell going for that record.
Exactly. And for you to say that people aren't looking at it going, we found out that you use performance-enhancing drugs and you don't understand why we won't let it go, it's because Hank Aaron deserves better.
I agree with you 100%, and I don't think there's anybody that disagrees. And so what's the deal now? So Bonds is up for the vote in the hall, right?
Yeah.
And Clemens is, and who else?
Mike Piazza and Sosa.
So it's a fun, and they're all going to be up the same year?
Yeah, they're all up this year. Voting
isn't
is next
ironic.
Month.
Isn't that funny? And I think, honestly, they're different cases. They're different cases all across the board. I mean, with Bonds, I would love to see the writers leave him out the first ballot. You know,
so
I think in 15 years that he's going to be out. I think he'll make it in. I think it would be a shame if he does. But you know what the reality is that he never did say that he never acknowledged that he knew the clear and the cream was a steroid. Am I correct?
No, he didn't. Yeah, he used the clear and the clean, but he says that his best friend, that's the part that drives me up the wall. His best friend, he's known since childhood, is in jail. In jail. For what? For distributing performance-enhancing drugs. He was a trainer at Balco. Victor Conti, the owner of Balco, went to jail.
Right.
Okay, this guy openly admitted to everyone he said Barry was using. He said Marion, what was her name? What was the broad's name?
Marion, was it one of the joiners? No.
No, she's not a joiner.
Her name, I know what you're talking about.
Jones.
Marion
Jones.
Yeah, Marion Jones, who went to jail. She ended up costing her relay team their gold medal. And this Victor Conti was the first person to tell anybody on 60 Minutes. He said, "I saw Marion Jones inject herself with performance-enhancing drugs." He said, the interviewer said, "Where did she inject herself?" He said, "In the quad." And he showed how she injected it into the top of her thigh. He gave a simulation of how she did it. This woman said, "It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie," and then finally admitted it and then went to jail. You know, and, so, and all of these people, here's your best friend, Barry Bonds, that you've known since you were school age. This man's in jail for distributing, performance-enhancing drugs and steroids. Excuse me. You get caught with this oil on your skin. You get caught using a PED, and you say there's no way you knew anything about it. Give me a break. And he's your trainer?
Oh, yeah. The guy's a fraud, and I think that's the good part of this, is that his name is forever tarnished, whereas a Maguire and Sosa – see, I don't remember if Sosa ever came clean. I know Maguire did, and he apologized. And because of that, I think he actually has a better shot than Barnes might.
If they forgive him. But remember, and Julie just brought this up, and I think it's important to note, Julie in Massachusetts says, what about Pete Rose? He's been begging to get into the hall, and they tell him to go suck a lemon.
Well, wait a minute, though. I was just going to bring this up. Pete Rose, elite, gambled as a manager, and some believe on his own team, but nonetheless, gambled as a manager, as an active manager on the sport he was managing. Pete Rose, and I was a huge fan of Pete Rose growing up. You can never, I don't even think you can compare what Bonds did to what Pete Rose did. I think what Pete Rose did was much worse. Because
yeah,
Pete Rose,
I agree with you there.
Gambled, man. He could have swayed games. You know, Barry Bonds injected a needle into himself, but he still had to hit that baseball. And he only, you know, in the pursuit of a record, but he didn't gamble as an active decision maker in the sport that he was hailed in. Pete Rose
right.
ruined not only his name, but just that whole child, you know, it really, I think that's far more damaging. It's kind of like boxing. I love the whole excitement of MMA, but I was a huge boxing fan for years. One
yeah.
of the reasons I feel boxing is dead is the amount of bad decisions that were obviously corrupt and the kind of corruption that just became so evident to people that they stopped tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a big piece of that. Once a sport loses its integrity, you know, we like to think of sports as an escape. The minute it becomes real and we see all the negative things that we see in our daily lives, then the sport is gone. It's dead. And I think to boxing, that's what happened there. Pete Rose could have brought baseball down. Luckily,
right.
he didn't. Barry Bonds can't bring baseball down, but he brought himself. He brought his. I think he's done. You know, forever people will look at this guy like a dirtbag.
You know what I find interesting? Here's San Francisco with two World Series titles in 3 years after the guy's gone.
Oh, absolutely. It's perfect.
You know, they finally got rid of the whack juice. By the way, just to get back to the conversation we were having about Mark Echo, I knew I was right about this. Fashion designer Mark Echo, who bought the ball, the Barry Bonds ball online in an online auction, set up a website for fans to vote on the ball's fate. On Wednesday, and Wednesday announced the decision to brand it one out over the other options, sending it to Cooperstown unblemished, or launched into space. Echo said he believed the vote to brand the ball showed people thought this was shrouded in a chapter of baseball history that wasn't necessarily the clearest it could be. Echo, whom Bonds called an idiot last week, had the winning bid on September 15th in an online auction for the ball that Bonds hit on August 7th to break Hank Aaron's record. The asterisk suggests that Bonds' record is tainted by alleged steroid use. The slugger has denied knowingly using performance-enhancing drugs. Fans brought signs with asterisks on them to ballparks as he neared Aaron's hollowed mark. So, yeah, so it did actually win to be put an asterisk on it, but they didn't vote to put it in space. I know
you
he
know,
wanted
I have a,
to, though.
I have a theory, and, you know, we'll never know. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time, and I never could wrap my head around why he left the game, and that was Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was set to break the rushing record. Nothing was going to stop that. And he quit overnight claiming that he had just tired of the game. I've always felt that somebody was going to come forward with something that would have ruined his name or his career. I just cannot believe that Barry Sanders walked away from football because he became tired of the game, or what was his expression? He said he respected Walter Payton too much.
Yeah.
I never bought it. I never will. I love
Barry. Wait a
Barry.
Minute. How old was – that's interesting. How old was Barry Sanders when he quit?
He had at least 5-6 more years in him.
But he was 30-something, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he hadn't slowed down.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm not disagreeing with you. Trust me, I'm with you. I'm with you there as well. But, I mean, I understand several factors. I mean, the fact that, one, you know, he was getting an age. I don't understand it now. It's like ever since Barry Sanders quit the game, now the life expectancy of all running backs is 10 years. We've seen it with Sean Alexander, Curtis Martin. Now we've just seen it recently with LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, we're seeing this really, really like 10-year spurt. We just saw it with Jerome Bettis, who actually played till he was 36, which is interesting to me because Jerome Bettis being a short, stocky guy, but, you know, he played a good 15, 16 years in the league, which is, again, now you start talking about running backs, all of these other running backs only spend 10 years in the league. I'm worried about guys like Rice in Baltimore. You know, I look at guys like who's this guy in who's a great running back in Jacksonville? He's on a horrible team, but he's a great running back.
I don't know. I don't know the name. I know there's a good back there. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, he's a great running back there. He's just on a horrible team. But I'm just worried about that because you're right about the Barry Bonds thing. I mean, not Barry Bonds. Sorry, the Barry Sanders thing. I thought he was going to come out that he was gay.
I'm convinced something was going to happen, and I've always felt gypped that we never got to see what he could have done. But this is the problem. We have to decide, you know, first of all, I still stick to the fact that kids have to stop idolizing these guys that play this game. And that's going to start at the home. Yeah, idolize the game, the competitive nature, you know, the actual games themselves. But people are people. And if you pull some of that idolization back, then I don't think you see all this. All you hear these days about sports is scandal and the dirty story. It's not about the sport. Sports radio, I stopped listening a long time ago. One of the reasons I got into your show back in the RKO days is that I didn't know you were on the air, but I would listen to, I think it was, I don't know who it was at the time, might have been Callahan or whoever it was on the 850 Glenn Ordway show, and it became this one said this, Manny Ramirez did this. It was not about sports any longer. It was about the personalities in sport and all the they had. And I said, I don't need to. If I want to read the National Enquirer, I'll borrow my wife's copy. This isn't what I wanted to hear. And I went to talk radio. And the thing that's great about talk radio that's, you know, non-sporting talk radio is you still have issues to talk about, and it's not always about, you know, this athlete,
right,
or this woman. And I think that's the problem today. That's all we look at with sports.
But, see, I think that you're talking about the hero worship that happens in sports, because I got to take a break. But the thing you're talking about, the hero worship in sports, you know, that's the one thing that I used to say when people asked me about sports. You know, you can talk to me all day about the news stories or the sports news stories. If there's a story about steroids, that's one. If there's a story about cheating, that's another. You know, if you want to talk about those things, that's great. I don't want to talk about the individual players. When I watch SportsCenter, I don't want to hear about that guy's personal feelings about, like, there's this big story about this player who's afraid of statues. I don't want to hear those stories. I don't give a damn about those stories. When I look at these games, like the Romans watching the Christians thrown to the lions, I am a Colosseum guy. I want to watch these people run over each other, tackle each other, beat the crap out of each other. That's what I'm in it for. I want no worship. You're there to serve me. You're there to entertain. That's all I want you to do. I want to see a tomahawk monkey dunk in every game. And I want to see a 90-yard touchdown if I can, or I want to see a bomb thrown in the air by the hottest rookie quarterback in the league. But that's all. But I could give two damns about you as far as hero worship is concerned. Never been a person like that.
Right on.
All right, let me take a break. We got to get back because I have to talk about this guy who wants to take over Jesse Jackson's seat in Chicago. Jesse Jackson Jr., who just resigned the seat in Chicago. The guy who wants to take it over, folks, hold on to your goddamn hats. This guy's a felony sex offender.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, it's gotten to the point that if you dislike the president, you must be a racist. Disagree with Rachel Maddow and you hate women and lesbians. Don't watch Chris Matthews, then you're anti-crazy. I mentioned the other day that I didn't watch Glee. They called me a homophobic, anti-teacher, wheelchair-hating, youth-despising, art-bashing neocon. Can you imagine calling me a neocon? Fact remains, conservatives are afraid to speak their minds for fear that someone on the left will accuse them of being a racist homophobe. This is why you have conservative people in Hollywood that are just kind of staying quiet so as not to get pinned with that scarlet letter and driven out of the business. Believe me, I know I've been there. If you think back, this is not the first time that insult-throwing hate mongers have assaulted decent Americans. Remember, fill in the blank. I'm Chuck Woolery. Love my country, but I fear my government. Like us on Facebook at the Save Us Chuck Woolery page and follow us on Twitter at Save Us Chuck.
Ah, 39 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the radio. I was looking for this story. I thought I had it on my phone, but apparently I do not. But here it is. It's in front of me. Okay. Listen, we know what it is that we know about Chicago. All right? It's a cesspool. But Mary, I've got an idea. We're moving to Chicago.
Hell no, we're not.
I knew I'd get that reaction. Sweetheart, listen, I believe that I can get a political job.
Oh, well, then we can go then.
Okay, see what I'm saying? Former Democratic Congressman and convicted sex offender Mel Reynolds announced yesterday that he's running for Illinois House, the seat vacated by Jesse Jackson Jr. First elected to Congress in 1993, Reynolds won re-election once, but he was forced to resign when he was convicted of sex assault, criminal sexual abuse, solicitation of child pornography, and obstruction of justice. He was having sex with an underage campaign volunteer. In his announcement yesterday, Reynolds openly acknowledged his checkered past. According to the Chicago Tribune, Reynolds, who was flanked by signs that read redemption, acknowledged he is not perfect, but insisted his campaign is not a joke. He also indicated that he's receiving many supportive phone calls and that he is determined to finish the work he began nearly a decade ago. Jesse Jackson's seat will be filled in a special election. The Democratic primary is set to take place on February 26th. The state lawmakers are looking at April 9th as a potential date for the general election. Reynolds, so he can finish what he started, is what some of his campaign posters read, and redemption. Now, look, folks, I know bottom line that Chicago is a corrupt place, okay? But look, I've always wanted to get into politics here. It's always been my ultimate goal, with the exception of running my own network. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I had Powerball dreams too, okay? I had Powerball dreams too. I'm not going to express them here, but God, do I have power. I had Powerball dreams. Keep it quiet. I don't want to get into it, and I'm not going to discuss it. By the way, I believe that Mary is taking that drug that we talked about earlier, Requip. Okay? I think Mary is on that drug. I'll talk to you about it later.
What drug?
Never mind, honey. I said I'll talk to you about it later. Anyway, the question is, should he run? I mean, come on. Felony? Child pornography? I mean, that takes gall. Now, am I living in some sort of, you know, time warp? Am I living in some sort of alien spaceship? Am I in the right place here, folks? That this guy can pretty much outright just say, yes, I did it. Yes, I downloaded child pornography. That's me. Yes, I had sex with an underage girl who was campaigning for me in my last re-election. Yes, I did it. That was me. But all I want to do is help. I want to help you. Let me go to Washington and do the help that I can do. Now, I'm telling you, folks, think I'm kidding. Jesse Jackson Jr. was reelected, what, 9 times? 9 terms. 9 terms. And now this guy is being talked about. And I'm pretty
sure. Is there a limit?
No, of course not. You get reelected. Now, don't get me wrong. 2 things are going to happen. You know, there are going to be some black people in that community, in that district. And they're going to look at him and they're going to say 1 of 2 things. Because trust me, I know this. I'm in keen. I'm in tuned with the black mind. I've been black for more than 15, 20 minutes. I know. They're going to say 1 of 2 things. They're going to say, they set that nigga up. I bet you they set that nigga up. And he can convince them of this, folks.
I bet you she wanted it.
That's right. That's right. Look at what they said about Rihanna and Chris Brown.
You seen Pookie around the corner.
Look at the way the girls who went to the Today Show to go see Chris Brown. Girls were holding up signs. He could beat me for a ring. Oh, you don't know what that's like. She probably did something to deserve. They were making excuses. You don't think they're going to say that about this Negro? Oh, you know they set that nigga up. They probably put that young girl in there and probably had him seduce him. You know what I'm saying? Give him no responsibility if he is a prominent figure in that community. He might be reelected. And not only that, Fox News is focusing. Sean Hannity right now is focusing on this guy. Focusing on Reynolds. right now. Mel Reynolds. Now, you know what the black people going to say? Oh, Fox News is reporting it? Oh, you know they set that nigga up. You know, that's exactly what they're saying. Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
And if Barack Obama supports
him. Oh, you know he ain't. No. Barack Obama ain't going to support him.
Yes, he will.
No, he's going to keep his mouth shut. No, he's not. No, he won't. He keep his damn mouth shut. They set that nigga up. Ugh. But you know he might win. He's the only person that's come out so far, and right now he's getting the name recognition. Hey, it worked for Bill Clinton. That's what Jennifer Flowers said. Sex scandal. Convicted candidate. I love it. Sean Hannity is a convicted candidate. He's got on lower third. Sal.
You know what, Reese? I mean, so you started the show off talking a little bit about where we are as a country. And I think this kind of ties in. I just don't think any of this crap matters anymore. The day after the election, I changed as a human being. I've noticed it now. I mean, I thought initially I was just pissed off. But I've changed. There's a hardening of my heart that's happened that I never expected. I don't really – I mean, it's an apathy, too. I almost don't give a crap about – what I hear from these people. And, you know, I loved politics. I loved a good political debate. I loved the political back and forth on the issues. After this recent election, when I saw Mitt Romney destroy this man on the issues and look presidential and to fail, I really believe I lost total faith in the entire system, and that includes even at the lower levels, whether it be city politics or state. It's a corrupt business. The electorate is moronic. There's no reason to think this guy won't get elected.
I don't think so. I agree with you here, because I believe that today skepticism is a lost practice. You know, I don't believe that today. I think, and I truly believe, and I understand where you're feeling down, because I felt down too. You know, what it called it, I know how it affected me. It literally changed my day. I was scared. I was literally just scared. I was just like, there's no way we're going to be able to come from this. Like, how the hell did this happen? But I think what's happened now, and I think what's important now, is that now we have to really focus on optics. I think
what?
That that's important today. On optics, I think optics are the most important. Why do I say optics? Let me put it this way. President Obama was able to run on things that are absolutely base. Everything that he ran on was base. You know, he used terms like war on women. He used gender. He used race. These were very base tactics. He was literally dealing with the electorate on a level of things that they could only see, not that they had to think about. To use a very poor equation of rap, people always say, like, oh, Bill O'Reilly did a great show the other day talking to Keith Ablo, I think his name is, the psychiatrist,
yep,
about why that song Gundam Style is so popular. And Keith Ablo said the greatest thing. He says, because we live in a society that they don't care about a message in a song. They want to hear a quick beat that's repetitive, and it's got a word that's repetitive. Eminem did a mixtape song where you should hear this mixtape. He does the song. In fact, if you look it up, I don't know if you really care about rap all that much, but you only need to hear the first verse of this song. It's got Eminem, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, and Dr. Dre. Just look it up. They're all on it. But listen to the first verse of the song, and listen to what Eminem says about the music industry. The kids don't care about. He says, we don't care we don't care about the words. All we want is the chorus, because the chorus repeats the same four words for us. That's the perfect line. The society we live in today, it's about optics.
Yeah, I don't want to get off topic, but you touched on something. One of these days, I want to get your opinion on LL Cool J, because I loved his old stuff. And a lot of people, I don't know, I wasn't in the rap community. I don't understand a lot of the whole gangster thing, but I thought his stuff was real quality, but he was kind of looked down upon, wasn't he, by some of the hardcore rappers that were all
Absolutely.
About the gangs?
Yeah, when he started marketing the whole love music thing, that's what happened to him. You know,
about like the backseat days when he was doing backseat of my Jeep and stuff like that.
You know, it's so funny because that album didn't do well and it wasn't critically acclaimed, but it's one of my favorite albums, 14 Shots of the Dome.
Yeah, it's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, it was a great album.
I was curious what you thought about that because I listened to his stuff and I thought he was really good. I mean,
he
never got respect in his own community. It was mostly like the white people that were listening to him.
If you want to hear LL Cool J, a brilliant LL Cool J, last track on 14 Shots to the Dome. Just listen to it. It's conducted and produced. By this, remember when Aerosmith was doing the big orchestra stuff?
Yep.
And it was like right after, like when he had performed Dream on stage and he brought this big giant Philharmonic out.
Remember very well.
And I don't know who the guy's name, but I think the guy's name is David something. But he was this very young, very, very rock-oriented conductor of like Philharmonic music. He always used big orchestras. And Aerosmith started using him on a lot of... what was the name of that song that Aerosmith did? And wasn't Aerosmith that used him first? Guns N' Roses used him. He's the guy who's conducting in November Rain. He produced November Rain for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
LL Cool J does the last track called Crossroads on 14 Shots to the Dome. You have to hear it because it's produced by the same guy. Listen to that song done with a live orchestra.
What year are you talking about? Did this album come out?
14 Shots to the Dome. I'm going to go 90. Okay.
So it's later LL. It's not the early stuff.
No, this is LL Cool J. Okay, Backseat of My Jeep is on that album.
Oh, it is?
And, hold on. Backseat of My Jeep is on the album. Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag is on that album.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but it's one of the tracks that got Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag and what do you call it? And Backseat of My Jeep. In fact, if you watch the video for Backseat of My Jeep, the film playing at the drive-in movie was the video for this song that I'm talking about called Crossroads.
Oh, okay.
So you have to hear the song Crossroads. When I tell you, I hear it's got everything. It's got thunder. It's got lightning in the beginning of the what's name. It's got like this rainstorm going on. And he's talking about pretty much the apocalypse. But listen to it. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
The thing I was talking about with the optics, to get back on topic with the optics, I think that right now, just as a culture of conservatism, we've got to stop making it complicated for these people. Because if there's one thing that I've heard complained about with the black community and the Latino community, especially with the dumbest of the dumb, is that what they like and what they appreciate are optics. They like to see things. They don't like to have things explained to them because they cannot fathom them in their mind when they live. Yeah, it has to be a tangible thing that they can understand, and it has to be very, very simple to them. Now, I know that sucks in a lot of ways, but it's like, why can't we make these people smarter? Well, we can do that after the fact. Right now, we just need to get them into the door. You know? I mean,
You are a hopeful sort. I'll give you that, man. I'm having a hard time picturing Newt Gingrich delivering the optics.
I just believe that there's a way to get them into the door. You know what I used to say, Sal, and I use this, and I always use the movie analogy with me because, again, I'm like that kid in the movie swimming with sharks. In the beginning of the movie, he talks about, you know, movies for him were experiences, and that's what they are to me. They're experiences. They're not real life, but they're experiences. I can remember everything I was doing when I went to see a movie. But the one thing about movies, I call myself a movie snob. I remember when I was sitting in Rikers Island and a movie would come on the screen. something stupid like, you know, Valentine's Day 2 or, you know, you know, a remake of Prom Night. And it'd be some worthless idiot sitting there going, damn, man, I want to see that. Yo, you just need to see if we could get that movie. And I'd sit there and look at him and I go, what draws you to that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, it looks like it's going to be a good movie. I was like, well, what do you guys consider a good movie? And we ended up getting into this huge debate about what's a classic, what's a good film. And so they kept ragging on me and he was going, oh, you like them movies that do all the talking. You like movies with words. I don't say that. But that's what they were arguing with me about. You know what I mean? What they liked was, what was very simple to them was, I like watching people get killed. I have a friend named Ty who says, oh, he says, I said to him, why'd you see that movie? He said, are you kidding me? There was niggas dying left and right. That's what I loved about it. That was his expression. So I think when you're dealing with those people, as far as the masses are concerned, we're being outnumbered by nudniks.
Idiots.
And the nuts. And we've got to get them where they live. And that's in Stupidville.
Hey, maybe we can set them up in the new tiny house community.
What?
I'm sorry. I was just reading a story. Breaking news. Don't mean to interrupt. We were reading, Reese and I were reading a story. We were watching something, and then we looked it up online, I guess, about these 200 square feet apartments that they're building in New York.
Right, Granny.
Well, this weekend, Reese and I were thinking about, what are we going to do this weekend? Because I'm off this weekend. Normally, I have to work on Saturday, but I don't have to go in, so I'm off. So what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to go visit this little alleyway.
Really?
In Northwest D.C.
Okay.
That they've now turned into a tiny house community. They've built 150 to 200 square feet homes.
What?
In this alleyway. Oh, yes.
It's a phenomenon.
Dream.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a phenomenon. You got people living in damn shoeboxes, and they're making it work.
And that's...
It has wheels on them.
Oh.
And I think Reese and some of what you guys are talking about as far as the optics, I think you're talking about hood political pop-up books.
Exactly. Political pop-up books. That's exactly it. But maybe because that's already going to be deemed racist. But what we need to do is we need to get them at their home. We need to get them.
Well, I mean, Reese, think about it. They don't pick up books unless there's pictures anyways.
This is true.
The face of the party needs to change to work. The Marco Rubios and some of these younger guys.
Exactly.
And you got to move the Gingriches and move some of these old guys, the Mitch McConnells, the Boehners. They can't be the face of the party or it's doomed.
Because, you know what it is? Because they're already seen as the current face of racism.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to tie that together.
You're absolutely right. Guys like Anthony Cruz, guys like Marco Rubio, Gloria, what's her name? Gloria Rubens is her name or something
like that. Get rid of the old money.
Get rid of the old money and start giving these people prominent roles within the party and let people see them. You got to let people see them. You know, it's sad, but, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, by the way, I don't know whether or not you people know, but December 3rd is one month before our anniversary show. You know, right? Nothing that matters.
Yeah.
We're almost there. We're almost there. Sal, thank you for riding with us, man, for the whole show.
I'm always enjoying it.
Thank you, man. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel right here on the release on the radio. We love you for JC, the producer. And Mary, Mary, why are you fucking on me on the radio? We will see you mañana.
Right here, ain't nothing but the D&D.
catch a man with the master plan. He's thinking faster than the slower.